This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Morena, everybody. This is David from Citizens Advice Bureau in Hastings. I'm here with my colleague Denise. And as we discussed last month, we're going to continue with the issue of scams and how these can be, how they can affect you and what you can do about them. And before I start, I'd just like to say that there is an enormous amount of information, helpful information, that is available to you, the public. So one of the things we're going to try and do today is to make that clear, where you can go for help, advice, and particularly where you can go to make yourself more aware of how to protect yourself. And that's what I'm going to start with. I'm going to start with the issue of identity theft. So this is where your private details get hacked into and then used fraudulently. Now, we might think that we are well protected. How well protected are we? Well, you can test your privacy awareness if you go to a website called the Asia Pacific Privacy Authorities. Asia Pacific Privacy Authorities. And the website has on it a little quiz. There are 11 questions. And these questions prompt you to think about how you behave around your personal information. How secure is your personal information? How secure are your practices and using it? It's a very good way to start thinking about and acting on making your personal information secure as possible. So we're talking about personal information on your computer, on your smartphone, on a tablet. We're talking about printed correspondence. We're also referring to your wallet, which, you know, in many cases people have all kinds of private material in there, credit cards, loyalty cards, and so on. Official documents that you need and carry, like your driver's license, your debit and credit card, your social media activities. And also, if you shop online, as increasingly people do these days, you know, what sort of security and privacy awareness do you have when you shop online? So this is a very good place to start, the Asia Pacific Privacy Authorities website. And it will also tell you that there's further information for protecting your identity provided by the Privacy Commissioner. There's a link on the Privacy Commissioner website, Protect Yourself Online. The Department of Internal Affairs, there's a link there called Protect Yourself from Identity Theft. And then, of course, NetSafe, there's a link there, How to Improve Your Online Safety and Security. And, of course, Citizens Advice Bureau have a very large amount of information on scams. And this is available to all of you in the public domain. Citizens Advice, the general website, the Ask Us window in the middle of the opening page, put in scam as the word, or what can you tell me about scams, and you'll get lots and lots of information. Okay, so the other thing to be aware of is that identity theft can also occur through organisations that you deal with in your ordinary day-to-day affairs, so medical clinics, educational institutions, government agencies. All of these places hold personal information about you. Now, of course, they have to comply with the Privacy Act, but as we know from experience, every now and again there's a data breach and people's personal details get broadcast in the public domain. So it's, I think, a good warning and good advice to be aware and to be ever vigilant on protecting your privacy. Now I'm going to pass to my colleague Denise, and she's going to continue to talk about these issues.
Thanks, David. It's scary stuff, all right. And so how do we identify a scam? Well, many scams are going to look genuine, and sometimes it's hard to tell that they're not real. So you need to learn how to identify a scam and protect yourself and others from harm. And I really want to emphasise we can all fall in the trap, and you know the best thing is to call for help. So reading the sign, look at the sender of the message. Is it from an unknown or a dubious source? Is it from a known contact, but the message doesn't quite match how that person would normally talk to you? Does it contain too many grammatical or spelling errors? Is it sent from a public domain, such as Gmail, Yahoo, or Live, but claims to be from a private business or a well-known company? Contacts you when you weren't expecting it? Is it asking for financial help so that they can pay debts or visit you? It gets your name wrong, i.e. it refers to you as my dear or something generic. It says that you need to claim money or prizes for a lottery or competition that you've never entered. It says that you've inherited money or possessions from someone you've never heard of. Claims to be from a financial institution or a well-known entity, and it requests personal information. Includes a link. Hover over that link with your mouse cursor without clicking it to see if the website address is correct and relevant to the email that you received. If you're not sure, don't click on links in messages and never open an attachment. David.
Right, okay, so continuing. If you feel that your identity has been compromised, in other words, you're the victim of identity theft, then in most cases you should report this to the police first and then to the organisation that would be involved. So, for example, if it's something to do with your FPOS card or your credit card, yes, the police, but also the organisation that is the provider of the card, whether it's a bank or a credit union, whatever it is. Passport, obviously, must be reported to the police, but also the passport office. Driver's licence, again, report to the police, but also to the New Zealand Transport Agency. And if you need help with these things, then the Department of Internal Affairs has got a lot of information, and you can look at it online or you can download it. And if you need further advice and help, there is an organisation, a non-profit organisation that operates both in Australia and New Zealand. They can be contacted either by a free call. They're called ID Care. And the free call number is an 0800 number, so 0800 121 068. 0800 121 068, or you can go onto their website. ID Care into the search window will give you their website. Now they specialise in helping people who've suffered identity theft, both individuals and organisations. They can tell you, for example, on who to contact if you're not sure. You've made an initial report, but you feel there's something else you can do or should be able to do, then ID Care will be able to provide that information. So this is a free service, and I think if you contacted us at Citizens Advice and you were concerned about your identity being compromised, one of the things that we would advise is that you contact this organisation, because that's what they specialise in, and they're funded by a number of government and private institutions both in Australia and New Zealand, who are serious about helping people protect their identity. So ID Care, 0800 121 068. Okay, so I'm just going to finish this little segment by saying to you that, you know, if you're using your phone or your computer, make sure that it's clean, particularly with the computer. Make sure that your virus protection is up to date. Yes, it might be annoying to have to renew the license every year and pay the fee, but it's definitely better than losing a large amount of money to a scam or having your personal details compromised. So, you know, being prepared is, yes, it will cost you a little, but in the long run, it's a good way of protecting yourself. Okay, so I'm going to hand back now to Denise.
Thanks, David. Now, we get a few calls from clients who have had contact from IRD and they're not sure whether this is credible or not or whether it is a sign of a scam. IRD and all of this information is on their website are quite clear about things that they would not say. So they don't use terms like dear citizen. They don't talk about fiscal activity. They don't write in terms with New Zealand dollar with the dollar sign after the figure. They don't talk about excess payments. They don't talk about our department or Department of Taxes. They don't talk about New Zealand government tax refund. They don't talk in terms of an IRD customer portal or an IRD revenue portal. So if you get an email or a phone call or a text claiming that you'll be fined or arrested if you don't respond, it's likely a scam. If you get a suspicious call from someone claiming to be from Inland Revenue, ask for their name and number and then call us on one of the numbers listed on our website. You can talk about stolen IRD numbers. Although uncommon, fraudsters often sometimes use another person's IRD number to claim tax refunds or tax credits. Some signs that someone else might be using your IRD are that their bank account or address is in My IR Secure Online Services and it's not yours. You've received a notice of assessment from us for a return that you didn't file, or a return that you may not have filed is showing as having been filed. If you have a tax agent and think of any of these have happened to you, check with them to make sure that they haven't made any changes to your details because they may have done it on your behalf. If your tax agent has not made the changes and you're still unsure, find out what to do if you've been scammed. Take action if you have been scammed, and I can't stress that enough. If you've been the victim of a scam and have given away any personal information, make sure that you let the agency know. Contact your bank. Contact IRD if you feel that your information has been misused. Thanks, David.
Okay. Now, I'm going to move into a related area. This is also to do with digital material. And these kinds of situations occur reasonably frequently, and people are often frustrated by them. So here's an example. So a client contacted Citizens Advice. I've got my latest mobile phone bill. I've been charged over $200 for data use. What can I do? There's obviously the data use is way out of the normal range. Okay, so the advice that we would give here is if this is your data use and you haven't been particularly paying attention to it, so it's higher than normal, it's going to be difficult to do something about it. However, it is always, first of all, worth contacting your phone provider because it's, you know, it may be a breach into your account. So that's the first thing. There should be evidence of your usage. It should be able to be tracked by the provider. So they should be able to see what usage has been clocked up And if you're able to see that also, then you may see that there are usages which you didn't activate. But more importantly, how do you prevent this from happening? Well, if you've got a plan, make sure you know how much data you've got available, and find out how it's going to be calculated and charged. So, you know, the first amount of data at a certain rate, and then beyond that at a different rate, and so on. Use a tool that can monitor your usage. Most providers have got a tool like this. It allows you to check your usage, and there are apps that you can put on your phone which will help you track your data usage, so you can see when you're getting close to using the maximum allowable amount in a specified period. Then you can also ask your phone company to notify you when your usage gets to the level or is getting close to the level that you have paid for. So these are just fairly straightforward ways of protecting yourself from unexpected surprises where, you know, all of a sudden the data use has shot up and you're liable for a large bill. This is particularly important, I think, with a mobile phone because, if somebody else gets hold of the phone and uses a lot of data on it, then you will find yourself liable for that. It's your phone. So having protection in the plan that you have is a way of protecting yourself from unwanted usage. And I have something else to talk about as well, but I'm going to go back to Denise and then I'll come back and talk about broadband charges.
Thanks, David. Scammers are very, very cunning people. And one of the terms that often goes alongside this is recovery room scams. So scammers are always on the lookout for new ways to take people's money. And we're seeing more and more scams about recovery room or follow-up fraud. So a recovery room scammer targets people who have already been the victim of a scam, whether their own scam or another fraudster scam. So they contact the victim and they pretend that they can help them for a fee. So they'll get back the money that they lost on online investments, trading scams, binary options, trading schemes, foreign exchange investments, cryptocurrency investments. So they seldom explain how they're going to recover the money, and if they do, the explanation is false or it's implausible. They always ask for their fee up front, often by a credit card, and the amount that they end up debiting to a customer's card can be very significant. Sometimes the fee is payable in cryptocurrency. Recovery room scammers sometimes give customers template wording to use when making a chargeback request. The chargeback requests are almost always unsuccessful and the customer is further out of pocket. So it doesn't cost anything to approach the bank directly and ask to seek a chargeback. So if somebody offers to recover your money through that you've lost through a scheme, just ignore it. Getting any money back from either scheme can be really difficult. Thanks, David.
Okay, so I said I'd say something about broadband and internet. Okay, so a query which we received at Citizens Advice: my internet provider has increased broadband charges, but I'm locked into a fixed term contract and I can't get out of it without paying an early termination fee. What can I do? All right, so the advice that we would give here, first of all, a fixed term contract for a service such as internet is to ensure that you get a consistent supply over that period at consistent charges. And in return for that, you would be obliged to continue paying for the service till the end of the contract. If the contract with your provider allows them to vary the terms of their service, but doesn't allow you to terminate the contract, that is, switch to another provider or cancel the contract without being liable for a penalty, then the contract may be considered to have unfair terms. So if this happens to you, then first thing to do is to talk to the provider and see whether they will change back to the original terms or waive the early termination fee, if that's what you want to do, or provide some compensation. So I'll just go back to the first thing. A fixed term contract is to ensure that you have consistent supply over a period, a specified period, at consistent charges. That's the important thing. That's what a fixed term contract is. It's for you and also the provider, so both of you know where you are. Now, if you're unable to resolve the issue, then of course you can make a complaint to the Telecommunication Dispute Resolution Scheme if the provider is a member of the scheme. Most providers are. You can also report this to the Commerce Commission, and that can be investigated. An unfair contract term is one where one party gets significantly greater rights or fewer obligations than the other party. So, for example, it penalises a party for breach of contract, but not penalises one party, but not the other. It's not necessarily there to protect the legitimate interests of the party who would be disadvantaged, and it would be detrimental to one of the parties to the contract in terms of loss of money, inconvenience, delay. Okay, so for example, if a phone provider has terms in its one-year contract which allow it to vary its charges at any time and also charges an early termination fee if the customer wishes to end the contract, then this is unfair. On the other hand, if a one-year contract term allows the provider to vary its charges but also allows the customer to terminate the contract at such times without being liable for termination fees, then that is fair. So the difference is the balance between both parties. Both parties have rights and obligations. Where the rights and obligations are skewed in favour of one party, then the contract is likely to be considered unfair. Okay, so those are things I think that are useful to keep in mind. They're not directly associated with scams, but they do affect the way in which we use our digital devices and the kinds of contracts that we set up around those devices. So I'm going to hand back to Denise now.
I think we're almost finished up and we're almost running short of time. But the thing that I really do want to stress is not being rushed into anything, making sure that you consult. And if you're not sure, ask questions.
Yeah.
Thanks, David.
Yes, good advice. Okay, so we are likely to continue this topic again next month because there's more material which we haven't yet covered. But don't forget, Citizens Advice Bureau has a very good online presence with a very large amount of information and links to many of the agencies that you can consult for free and helpful advice.
And we've now got open doors.
We have. We've opened our doors again for the first time for a long time. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.